Mr. Headley?
Yes, Chief Justice.
Good morning to you.
Morning. Morning, Justices. May I please the court? I am Matthew Headley, Madison County Public Defender, and I represent Jose Valdez in a criminal case in front of the Honorable Mark Johnson in the Madison County District Court. I think the facts of this case, as sad as they are, I think are really not in dispute here. I think it's the procedural history that we're looking at, and so I'm going to move on to that. In the Madison County District Court, Mr. Valdez was charged with motor vehicle homicide, which was a Class 2A felony. And then on January 7th, he entered a plea agreement pursuant to a plea agreement. The plea agreement was that the state will recommend 25 years incarceration. The parties will be free to speak as to the minimum sentence, and the state would file no additional charges and not seek restitution.
Is there any agreement as to seeking enhancement, referencing enhancement at all?
Well, actually, that gets on later in the proceeding.
Reading but in the plea agreement, was there any reference to that?
There was no reference to that in the plea agreement. It was not written, so it was an oral plea agreement. I know that was just dealt with in front of the court. The attorney for Mr. Valdez was the one that actually provided the factual basis to the court. And then after that occurred, the parties discussed enhancement. And the state, through the county attorney's office, said that they would handle enhancement at the next hearing. That was said on the record. It's in the Bill of Exceptions. And then the court found that the plea was entered freely, voluntarily, and intelligently, and found him guilty of the Class 2 felony subject to the enhancement hearing. Once again, announced in open court. Move forward 2 months, judge ordered a pre-sentence investigation. Forward 2 months, we've got a pre-sentence investigation presented to the court. Hearing starts. State presents a number of witnesses. Some DVD video or something like that, and then...
Is that for purpose of enhancement, or is that for sentencing purposes?
That was for sentencing purposes.
So it appears that the court went directly to sentencing.
That is absolutely, I think, pretty accurate.
So was there any enhancement hearing held whatsoever?
I don't believe so.
Was there any evidence offered for purposes of enhancement?
No, there was none.
Certified copies of prior convictions?
I mean, if the court wants to look at the pre-sentence investigation, there's a line in there that says that there was a prior DUI, but there's nothing in there that, for the purposes of enhancement, can be said, yeah, we presented something like the habitual criminal or anything like that. That's it. There was nothing. There was witness testimony, there was a video given, and the state rested.
Counsel, the state seems to agree with you up to a point, to the extent that they agree that there was not a valid enhancement hearing, and they assert that the proper remedy is to vacate the conviction and send it back for an enhancement hearing and resentencing. Why isn't that the correct answer?
Well, actually, if we go back to the two prior cases that were just argued in front of this court, and cases that the state presents, I think they're distinguishable, as well as this court and the Court of Appeals has a long history of saying if you don't do things properly, you waive. If you don't object to testimony or something at trial.
Have we ever said that you waive enhancement by failing to have an enhancement hearing?
The case law has not said that.
So you're asking us to do that?
I am asking the court to do that, yes.
Has the case law even said that when there is an enhancement hearing and an exhibit is received improperly, the enhancement hearing should be redone?
And I think that's where the distinguish comes from in regards to the cases that the state presents, which are there was enhancement hearings that were done. It was just that there was something wrong with the evidence presented. in this case, there was no evidence. And so, like I said, as my fellow defense attorney in the first case here today, if you don't do it right, you waive. And so you've got to figure out a way.
So what is the ultimate result that you would like from us?
The ultimate result is what's stated in my brief, which is there was no evidence presented, state waived, sent it back down for resentencing on a 2A felony. And so, as I said, the factual distinctions as is set forth by the state, I think, once again, are really clear. In those cases, the state presented some type of evidence.
Our case law is pretty clear, isn't it, that there's no double jeopardy associated with this sort of, with a sentencing enhancement proceeding mistake.
I will agree with you, but then once again, I will respectfully disagree and say that what we've got here is something that's just completely different than the case law that's presented that and that has been set forth by this court and the Court of Appeals.
So it's a start. If we disagree on that, that's your linchpin.
Correct. I think that is the linchpin in relation to it. Just because, once again, being a defense attorney, sometimes we've got to jump through hoops to make sure that we, as my fellow defense attorney said, make sure that we preserve all these issues for appeal. If we don't object, if we don't present evidence, if we don't do this court and the Court of Appeals have said, and even here recently, we've been dealing with, or you guys have been dealing with a lot of...
Mr. Headley, please don't refer to us as you guys.
I apologize. My nerves are getting to me. I apologize. This honorable court has been dealing a lot with the ineffective assistance of counsel and what has to be alleged. You know, do you have to do specific or do you have to show that there's actually some harm that was done to the defendant in the case? And so with that, I think this court and the Court of Appeals have put on and said, if you don't do certain things, it's waived. And
so that's is your position, would it be proper to characterize it as that the sentence imposed is not authorized?
Yes, because under the Nebraska statute for the motor vehicle homicide, if there's no enhancement presented, which there wasn't, it drops it from a 2 to a 2A felony with a maximum penalty of 20 years, which then the Court of Appeal or the district court sentenced him to 24 to 25, which is...
And the state seems to agree with that.
Yes.
Okay.
Was there... And I've not looked at the bill of exception, so I'm asking you to help me. I'm assuming at the plea hearing, the way this played out, there was never a pronouncement finding the higher gradation.
The district court judge found him guilty of the class two felony, subject to the enhancement hearing.
Okay, so there was sort of a pronouncement.
There was.
And then the enhancement hearing simply never occurred.
Correct. That is okay. Absolutely accurate as to what happened.
So if we have to send it back for resentencing either way, what does that do to the rest of your assignments of error?
You will not hear this often from the public defender's office, but I would agree with the AG's office, Attorney General's office, that it makes the rest of my arguments moot in regards to the ineffective assistance of counsel.
Regarding the issues of sentencing?
Regarding all of the issues, because I think a lot of those issues can
not,
be dealt with.
Not moot, but premature.
Yes.
Or a combination. There may be some that are moot and some that would be premature.
Right, because one of the issues that I brought up, or that Mr. Valdez brought up, was that the district court judge couldn't be the judge to sentence him because of he had actually handled the prior DUI that wasn't part of the record.
That represented him.
Correct. And so that, of course, can be resolved by filing a motion before sentencing to disqualify the district court judge. Of course, the suppression issues and, you know, filing the motions, I think, will come back up on appeal, depending on what this court does and what the district court does in relation to this case.
Either way, he sends it two-way, you would still have the ability to then raise the issue of ineffective assistance of counsel on a motion to suppress or disqualifying the judge.
Correct. And with the court's permission, I'd like to answer that question. Once again, with, as my prior public defender mentioned, defense attorney, we had to preserve those, because if I went up and this court said, nope, everything's fine, but you didn't present all of your rights to, you know, you didn't present all your ineffective, they're all waived. And so in order to make sure that we preserved all of those issues, that's why all of them were brought up. So
thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Liss, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Nathan Liss, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. I'll also begin with the validity of the enhancement, sentencing enhancement. We concede, as we did in our brief, that the trial court's enhancement finding was invalid, given that there was no evidence to support the finding. We maintain that the appropriate remedy is to reverse and remand for a new enhancement hearing as set forth in State v. Osaguirre and related authority. We disagree with the assertion that the enhancement finding should be vacated and dismissed as opposed to remanded for a new enhancement hearing. We see no basis for this conclusion. Osaguirre makes clear that a failure of proof at an enhancement hearing is not analogous to an acquittal, which is why a new enhancement hearing is appropriate when the evidence is insufficient. Functionally speaking, I don't see any difference between failing to meet, adducing some evidence and failing to meet your burden versus presenting no evidence at all. That's the functional equivalent.
Opposing counsel makes the argument there's a waiver of the enhancement by not offering any evidence, not bringing it up before the sentencing court. What's your thoughts in regard to waiver of enhancement?
Well, I would disagree that the state waived it. I mean, they charged it. They clearly pursued it. The parties contemplated pursuing enhancement at the time of sentencing. Now, had they not alleged it, there was never any discussion on it, and the court just did it sua sponte, you might have a problem there or some
what
sort of waiver. But
responsibility do you think the state had to put on enhancement evidence?
Well, to get the a valid enhancement finding at that time, they obviously had a responsibility to present the requisite evidence. So, I mean, there was certainly a responsibility in the sense of meeting their burden. But
so why should then the state get a second bite at the apple?
Because the legal remedy is to reverse and remand for a new enhancement hearing. It doesn't implicate double jeopardy principles. The only situation, as the U.S. Supreme Court has explained, where that would be in the capital context. In all other contexts, it doesn't offend or affect double jeopardy. And the legal remedy, it's not an equitable one. The legal remedy is to reverse for a new enhancement hearing. It's consistent with all of this court's decisions on the matter, and I don't think there's anything distinguishable about this case. We can all agree that, I mean, the state dropped the ball, and it's, I mean, what happened here is that there was a changing of the prosecutors, and they simply missed the fact that the new one needed to take up enhancement. The new prosecutor thought it had been done. It hadn't. It was a mistake. The court similarly mistakenly thought it was handled, and defense counsel obviously didn't catch the issue either. I mean, it happens. It was a mistake. I acknowledge the fact that it was a mistake. But as far as what the legal remedy is, the law is clear that a new enhancement hearing is appropriate. We don't see any basis to conclude
Does
otherwise.
Does it have to be framed as a double jeopardy issue?
I'm sorry?
Does it have to be framed as a double jeopardy issue?
I'm not sure that it would have to be framed that way, but I'm not sure how framing it another way would change the result. I don't like an awesome. Oh, sorry.
Suppose the state had alleged, as it did here, that it was charging the underlying felony enhanced to be a Class 2, and they show up for the enhancement hearing and they say, without changing any of the pleadings, we're not going to present evidence. We want you to sentence the defendant based solely upon the plea. And the trial court goes ahead without any evidence and imposes a sentence based upon as if it had been enhanced. Can the state, under those circumstances, waive enhancement?
Well, I think the state could forego enhancement because it would be the manner in which they're charging the offense. The state has ultimate discretion with respect
to... So to do that, do they have to amend the information? Is that where you're... Because the circumstance I've described is a verbal waiver on the record. Is that good enough?
I think it would be. I mean, I guess I think that would, in effect, be a verbal amendment of the charging document.
Do we allow verbal amendments to charging documents?
Well, I mean, at times it happens as part of plea deals where you have oral amendments. I mean, it's not the ideal way to do it, but things do happen.
They don't just leave the paperwork alone and proceed as if it said what they wanted to say?
Well, I mean, there are times where during a trial, evidence changes, things, unforeseen things happen, and the state, you know, orally moves to amend the document, and they take it up at that time. And perhaps later on, as a matter of housekeeping, I mean, you get something filed to amend it. But, I mean, things do happen orally. I'm just taking your hypo on the fly here.
It seems to me it's a small step from affirmative oral waiver to what Mr. Headley's saying in an implicit waiver. So what's your response to that?
Well, even if the step is small, it's still a step. And there's, I think, a very significant distinction between making some sort of indication, whether it's oral or in writing, that you don't want to pursue enhancement versus dropping the ball and just not getting it done. There was no indication here whatsoever that the state intended to abandon the enhanced charge, and that wasn't the case. So...
The court would have said we're here for enhancement hearing. The state says, Your Honor, we have no evidence to offer. That's an explicit waiver then at that point when they choose not to offer the evidence?
Well, I suspect what would have happened here is that the prosecutor would have been caught off guard, assumed that it had already happened, and asked for a continuance to shore that up. But had they said that, that might take us... If that exchange that you just threw out had occurred, I mean, that might take us more into the realm of Justice Castle's hypo of expressly abandoning or choosing not to pursue that enhancement. And if the state did that, I might be making a different argument today. But that's not what happened in this case.
Would you call this negligence or gross negligence on the part of the state? And does that make a difference?
I don't know that I'd go as far as... gross negligence. I mean, there was a miscommunication between the prosecutors as the new one came into the case. Certainly not perfect work, but mistakes happen. We are routinely here dealing with mistakes. I wouldn't go as far as to say...
You are the state. And the county attorney or whomever did this hearing represents the state and the people. Are they allowed to make these kinds of mistakes without any kind of repercussions?
I don't see that this mistake is really any worse than the one in Aseguera where you remanded for a new enhancement hearing. In that case, you're proving up or seeking to enhance a DUI and you show up with a prior conviction for driving under revocation that you've wholly failed to meet the burden of proof. That's a gross mistake as well. I just don't see how this is all that much different. I think it's an understandable mistake. There was a miscommunication. Arguably, this, to me, is a bit more understandable than what happened in Aseguera. But there, too, the legal remedy was to reverse and remand for a new enhancement hearing. I don't see why it would be any different here.
So do we reach any other assignments of error as a result of the concession by the state here?
I think on the ineffective claims... I guess I was thrown a bit by Mr. Headley's response that everything would be moot or irrelevant, including the ineffective claims. I guess my impression still is that the claim pertaining to the motion to suppress and the claim pertaining to the motion to recuse would still be at play here. I don't think those pertain solely to sentencing.
Don't those have to be following a judgment? And wouldn't we, by vacating the judgment, if there's no judgment, how do you have ineffective assistance of counsel?
Well, you haven't vacated the judgment yet. I mean, if you resolved them, it would be as part of your opinion, vacating the judgment and reversing. But, I mean, you often send something back where you have vacated, reverse, and remand, and said, for purposes of clarifying this, since it may likely occur on remand or come up on remand, we nonetheless address the issue, and the court has routinely found that that's appropriate and not necessarily advisory. So I guess I don't know that this would be any different. But I guess the point I would make in response to Justice Funk's question is I don't know that those claims pertain solely to the sentence. I think they potentially affect the conviction as well, especially with the blood test result. And, I mean, if a recusal were warranted, it wasn't here, as set forth in our brief. But if it had been, I think that would affect the plea as well, not just the sentence. That's my take on that, if the court concludes that it's not part of the judgment, not properly before you. I would submit the matter. Either way, we request that you reverse and remand for a new enhancement hearing and do what you deem appropriate with the remaining claims. If there are no further questions, I'll submit the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day, then, is State versus Eddie D. Stabler.